I was late to the race, the opera, the prom, whatever you want to call it. I was terribly late. At 38, verging on middle age, having been blind since birth, I was not much of a disabled person. I was a second-rate traveler who didn't know how to go places independently. But late or not, there I was, alertly hugging a yellow Labrador named Corky. We were brand spanking new to each other. We were an arranged marriage. We'd been together all of 15 minutes. "You're exactly what a dog should be," I said to her. "Your head's bigger than mine." We were at a guide dog school, a training center north of Manhattan. "Yes," I repeated, "you're what a dog should be." It wasn't just Corky's size, though her largeness had merit. You want the dog who'll guide you through traffic to be sturdy. No, the thing, the ineffable it, the should, was something like a welcome word. Maybe the word came from a distant room. The word had traveled a long way. So what if I'd been an unsuccessful disabled traveler? The dog before me, this Labrador, was a superb creature. She didn't care who I'd been or what I thought about myself. She was radiant. That's from the opening chapter of Have Dog, Will Travel, A Poet's Journey by Stephen Cusisto. You know, I think it's not a stretch to call this a classic guy-focused romance. It has all the hallmarks. Guy fantasizes about meeting gal. Guy preps himself to meet gal. Guy meets gal. And they like each other from the start. The guy struggles with this new thing, this relationship that seems to be developing with his gal. Only instead of gal, slip in the term female guide dog. Along the way, we learn about how Stephen experiences the world, both outside of him and even more so inside of himself, in his head and his emotions. The man, our protagonist, we meet as a smart, caring, worrisome, hopeful fellow who, yes, is legally blind, and yes, can see colors and shapes. He's taught himself, before he meets up with his guide dog, Corky, to navigate the smallish college town in which he lives. He's learned to fit well into the career for which he has educated himself. He's a college professor. As another reviewer has noted, quote, "The author grew up hiding the fact that he was blind. It was not something easily hidden, but it was more a lack of acknowledgement and accommodation of his disability by his mother. He never knew how to embrace his disability, having been forced to hide it. For the first time, at the age of 38, he would finally acknowledge his disability and start his journey to acceptance and independence." And yes, early on in our story, we learn that our author is a guy whose carefully choreographed life is thrown into chaos when he loses his professorial job and his carefully planned out days that went with it. Let the journey begin. As our author tells it, quote, "After grad school, I taught poetry at Hobart and William Smith Colleges and extended my yearly appointment into an extended career. What a thing to be, a blind fellow teaching literature in a small town. Though I'd often been praised, I was an academic day laborer and out with the stroke of a pen. Minus the capacity to go beyond rehearsed space, I was helpless. How could I move to a strange city in search of a job? A friend advised me to relocate to Ithaca, 40 miles south. It had a navigable downtown, and I could learn it. I traipsed Ithaca's sidewalks and followed strangers, stopping when they stopped, moving when they moved. I circled the city center. I found my way to the famous Moosewood Vegetarian Restaurant and sat beside a window and wrote poems in a notebook with a big fat magic marker so I could see the results." There's an old Zen adage, he continues, "If you want to get across the river, get across." I decided to start by going for a walk. It was a cold fall day, and I moved through downtown Ithaca as I'd always done, following people who looked like shadows. That's when I stepped into the path of a station wagon. The shadow had tricked me. The shadow had jumped ahead of the car, and I'd followed. I felt a brush of wind and found myself in the air, being pulled by a stranger. My savior stranger was talking. I started to hear him. He said, "That was a Chevrolet. You were almost killed by a station wagon." I didn't know why this mattered, but the car's brand seemed very important. It wasn't a Mercedes. It was a solid, middle-class vehicle. I sat on the sidewalk for a few minutes. I assured my savior I was okay. But sitting on the cement under a stop sign, I knew there was no more room for deflection. If I wanted a big life, I needed a partner a partner who cared entirely about my safety. When I got home, I dug up a pamphlet from Guiding Eyes for the Blind, a guide dog school just 40 miles north of New York City. I'd acquired the brochure a few weeks earlier from a social worker. I called their number. Little did I know, I was about to enter guide dog Corky's story. Well, our author is a poet. He's a writer, a man who journals his days and thoughts, and he shares a few of them in this book as we read through. That he is a poet helps to explain the phrasing, the flow of the true life story he tells us. For he is as likely to share his innermost feelings in one paragraph, only to shift gears in the very next sentence and jerk our minds and our attention to another topic, another experience, another thought. I found this flow disconcerting at first. As the book progressed, I found that I had learned to go with the flow, however, to let our author have the leeway to write as he wants, and to let myself go with the storyline, trusting that he'll bring me along as the writing moves forward. And I found he did. My trust in his writing was confirmed the deeper into the book I read, and in some ways, in many ways perhaps, my experience of letting the author lead me through his story as much as the author learned to trust his guide dog, Corky, as she led him through the hills, the byways, and mainly the highways of New York City. That title, Have Dog Will Travel, it's a head-turner, isn't it? Perhaps the reader needs to be of a certain age, let's say the age of our author or maybe of the reviewer, to appreciate fully the title's phrasing, Have Dog Will Travel. For that title took me immediately back to the old black and white TV cowboy saga with the Have Gun Will Travel theme, whose lead character was a paladin. But then, as now, our attention ought not to focus on the gun or the dog of the title, but instead we ought to put our attention on the active voice the sentence offers, the idea that the gun, or in today's book, the dog, is the vehicle which encourages the author of the phrase to move, to go forward, to embrace independence, experience the world around him, to travel. And so it is that as we move deeper into our story, as our author is matched with guide dog Corky, and the two begin to build their daily relationship, our author finds himself much more interested in traveling, in exploring the world around him, and it ought to be noted, inside of himself as well, allowing him to explore the reasons he was so hesitant to publicly express his life as a blind person. He is, let's remember, a poet. With Corky the Golden Lab as his sighted guide, our author explores so many new parts of his world he would not have encountered before, with both exhilarating and, in hindsight at least, sometimes hilarious results. Most of all, Have Dog Will Travel is, as I noted up front, a love story between a man and a dog. As the pair experience life together on the streets of one of the world's largest cities, replete with speeding cars, gaping potholes, and never-ending escapades in the wilds that are urban life, Stephen comes to realize that his dog, Corky, is as good a friend, as faithful a companion, as any human could want in their animal. Corky is focused on making the world she and Stephen are walking through a safe journey for both of them. It's a love story that so many of us can relate to on the dog-human experience level. So if you've had the incredible opportunity to be friends with a dog, I think you'll be a natural for this read. Let me point out and say that I'm pleased that Have Dog Will Travel is the first book to be reviewed in this year's Books and Coffee series on the Purdue campus this February. And I'm glad that each of us chose the book without noticing the other had done so. It's got the kind of story that elicits the imagination, that prompts one to pick it up and begin to read. And, hey, it's got a great cover. Let's finish this review with the author's words. People ask, what's it like? What's it like walking with a guide dog? How does a dog keep you from harm? Or they say, I don't think I could do that. I mean, what's it really like to trust a dog that way? Truthfully, it's not like anything else. There's no true equivalent for the experience. My wife is an equestrian, he writes. Years ago, she was a guide dog trainer. On a horse, she says, you're hypervigilant. You need to avoid accidents by controlling your animal. Sometimes you and your horse will find a meditative rhythm, but you can't count on horses to look out for you. A guide dog, he tells us, is not like a horse. She looks out for you all the time. What's it like? I can only help you imagine what a guide dog feels like. Say you're in Italy in a swirl of motorbikes. It's Milan, with thin sidewalks, confusing street crossings, and barbaric drivers. The street is crowded with what seems to be like all the people in the world. Let's say you're walking at night to the Duomo, with guiding eyes Quirky. Quirky does her thing and relishes her job. She pulls you along, but the pull is steady, and you feel like you're floating. Her mind and body transmit through a harness an omnidirectional confidence. It's just you and your dog. You're going there to touch the birds and the fruits and the beasts and the insects carved from marble. There's a hole in the pavement. It's unmarked. There are no pylons or signs. A stranger says it's remarkable there aren't a dozen people at the bottom of the thing. Quirky has saved you from breaking your neck. She backs away, turns, then pushes ahead. It doesn't feel like driving a car. It's not like running. Sometimes I think it's a bit like swimming. A really long swim when you're buoyant and fast. There's no one else in the pool. Yes, this is sort of what it's like. But there's something else. A keen affection between you and your dog. A mutual discernment. Together, you've got the other's back. From Have Dog, Will Travel, A Poet's Journey by Stephen Cusisto. If you've ever been lucky enough to be part of a life with a dog, I think you're going to enjoy this book. And if you haven't, you may just like it as well. It's a great read. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.